Welcome to this message from the Jeanette campus of Charter Oak Church. Pastor Chris Livermore brings the second message in the series Noah called Out of Your Comfort Zone, looking at Genesis chapter 8, verses 13 through 22. You've heard it before. God is more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. Noah is a lesson in that truth. Here's Pastor Chris.
As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word today.
Thank you, Scott. Well, that day, comfort went out the window. The comfort of the disciples, everything that they had sort of begun to anticipate, the comfort of the crowds, the comfort of the religious establishment. Jesus came and he rocked their entire world. Now, last week we saw how Noah was obedient to God. We saw how God had called him to build a boat. And we saw how Noah's obedience was different from compliance. And we looked at the comparison between compliance and obedience, and how really what God, the difference is relationship. That when we have that relationship with Jesus, that then everything changes and we are brought away from compliance and into obedience. And what we commemorate today is what happened so many years ago when Jesus brought this whole issue of compliance and obedience to the center of the religious establishment, the religious headquarters of the day, as it were, that is Jerusalem. And there were so many people at that time who were living a life of compliance, and Jesus then called them to a life of obedience, and he upset the comfort of so many who had built their lives around compliance instead of a love relationship with God. And so he says to his disciples, you know, go on in there and get that donkey and, you know, and just tell them the Lord needs them. And so they did, and they brought him back. And today, Jesus is saying the same thing to you and me. He may not say, you know, give me your donkey. I don't know. But he calls each and every one of us to do something. He calls us first to be something. We talked about that last week as we talked about the love relationship that Jesus wants us to have with him. But then, once we are in right relationship with him, Jesus calls upon us, it calls us to a life that will require something from us as it required something from Noah. And it will require us to move out of our comfort zones. Now, comfort zones are really weird, and you understand what they are. It's kind of an ironic thing. Most of us want to feel comfortable. We like our comfort zones. And what we know is that a comfort zone is a safe place. It's a place that we want to be, but it also is a place of zero growth. As long as you and I stay in our comfort zones, we never take that next step. I don't know what it's like at your house, but I have a recliner at home. How many of you have a recliner? You know, or that favorite chair, that favorite couch that, you know, you sit down and it just kind of what? wraps its arms around you, you know, and you kind of put your blankie over you. You know, you get all comfy with your hot tea and everything. You settle in to watch 25 hours of NCAA basketball, right? I mean, just awesome. You know, it's the best time of the year, okay, after Christmas. So anyway, you know, we feel warm, we feel wonderful, we feel relaxed, and it's just great. But if you stay in recliner for 3 days, what happens? What happens? The joints start to lock up. Let's be honest, some of us of a particular age, you know, 2 or 3 hours and the joints start to lock up. You know, we can't sit through a movie without getting up and having pain when it's all over. So the recliner is nice for a while, but if we stay there, what once felt so good now becomes constricting. It now serves as something that holds us back from health. Perhaps your family is like mine. We've had family members who, because of an illness, had to spend an extended period of time in bed. And one of the huge struggles that they have is, once they get up out of the bed, is regaining their strength, right? In other words, the human body, we weren't meant to stay there. And God never intended for us to stay in a comfort zone. You see, comfort is good, but it's not what we are made for. I love the expression that was early in the video. It says, ships are safe in harbor, but what? That's not what ships are made for. It's good for us to be comfortable, but folks, that's not why God created you. That's not why God created me. Well, here's a definition of comfort zone. It's a place or situation where one feels safe or at ease and without stress. Now, that sounds pretty good, but in effect, that's not what God has made you and me for. A writer named Neil Donald Walsh, author of the series Conversations with God, puts it this way: life begins at the end of your comfort zone. Life begins at the end of your comfort zone. Well, Noah's pushed beyond his comfort zone to a new life adventure, and any time that happens, there's fear, there's risk, there's anxiety that's associated with it. But even though this wasn't the first time Noah was pushed out of his comfort zone, remember what we looked at last week, the guy's 500 years old, and God says, build a boat. You know, I want you to build a boat, and God tells him everything that's going to go on, and Noah obeys, and he does that, and he doesn't have any clue of everything that's down the road, but he is following God, and he does what God asks him to do. And he was at the time when he should have been drawing his Social Security and relaxing. Sometimes I think that we think our lives should be characterized by comfort, especially when we reach a particular stage of our lives. Noah teaches us differently. Noah shows us that here's somebody who is getting on in years a little bit, and God calls him constantly to move beyond his comfort. The first time was when God told him to build a boat, and he said, okay. And here we come today to the next time, where the next time in Noah's life, the flood is over, and now God says, get out of the boat. Get out of your comfort zone, which the ark had become for him. He's now not 500 years old, he's 600 years old. And can we be honest, as we age, our willingness to take risks shrinks. Anybody with me? Yeah, we can tend to pull back. What we see in Noah's life is he was stepping out of his comfort zone. Let me pause at something for you to think about. Perhaps all of your life, at whatever age or stage you find yourselves, perhaps your entire life has been preparation for the next step out of your comfort zone that God has placed before you. Maybe all of your life has not been a learning of avoiding risk, but perhaps all of your life has been a preparation to take a risk for God. Well, Noah was faced with that. Would he get out of his comfort zone? Genesis chapter 8, it says this. Noah was now 601 years old. On the first day of the new year, 10.5 months after the flood began, the flood waters had almost dried up from the earth. Noah lifted back the covering of the boat. He saw that the surface of the ground was drying. 2 more months went by, and at last the earth was dry. Then God said to Noah, leave the boat, all of you. You and your wife, your sons, and your wives. And they all said amen to get out of there. No, I'm sorry, it's not there. Release all the animals, the birds, the livestock, the small animals that scurry along the ground, so that they can be fruitful and multiply throughout the earth. So Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives left the boat, and all of the large and small animals and birds came out of the boat pair by pair. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and there he sacrificed as burnt offerings the animals and birds that had been approved for that purpose. And the Lord was pleased with the aroma of the sacrifice and said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of the human race. Even though everything they think or imagine is bent toward evil from childhood, I will never again destroy all living things. As long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. Three steps to get out of your comfort zone. If you're taking notes on your worship folder or on the app, step one, the first step is up to you. The first step is up to you. Genesis 8, verse 13, Noah was now 601 years old. On the first day of the new year, 10.5 months after the flood began, the floodwaters had almost dried up from the earth. Noah lifted back the covering of the boat, saw the surface of the ground was drying. And that goes on for another 2.5 months. The ground wasn't dry enough. Now, recognize the ark had become Noah's home. As difficult as it was for him, perhaps, to be confined into that space with all of those stinking animals. Have you ever been into a barn that hasn't been cleaned out in a while? Okay. You know, that was the ark. And even though it had all of that about it, there was still a sense of comfort. It was what had saved him. It had carried him over the flood. It was familiar. It was safe. And you see, this is the same sort of tension that we all face when we begin to think about breaking out of our comfort zones. You know, Noah knew all about the downsides of that comfort zone. He had to clean the ark all the time. He understood the confinement with his relatives. You know, for some of us, Thanksgiving is long enough. You know, and here he's had all of these months and months, you know, with his family members confined. And this was the chance to get out. But there was another side. You see, it had become home. I suspect there was a degree of comfort. There was a degree of safety. And the funny thing about a comfort zone, it's not always so comfortable, but it's safe and it's familiar. We get used to it. It's sort of like the rut that sometimes we get into. We're in a rut, but you know, we're used to this rut and we know what to expect in this rut. And so we stay there. Question is that really the way you want to live your life? Stuck in what's comfortable, stuck in what is familiar. You see, some people are in terrible jobs. They're in terrible situations. Some people are living with overwhelming guilt and bitterness and unforgiveness, but they won't let it go. You know why? It's what they're used to. And they've lived in the midst of that guilt. They've lived carrying that unforgiving spirit for so long. They just got so used to it. It's their comfort zone. I've asked families why they're not getting along with another family. You know, why are you fighting? And they've said to me, well, I don't remember. I just know we don't like them. Sometimes we just get stuck in a comfortable place that really bothers us, but we stay because it's so familiar. Because to leave it would involve leaving that familiarity. Some people are so used to being bitter, they don't know how they would live if they let go of the bitterness. For you to take the next step into where God wants you to be, there may be some things in your heart, in your spirit, in your attitude that you have to let go of to move away from that comfortable zone, to move into the life that God has for you, no matter what age you are. The first step is hard because even though we probably know things could be better outside of the comfort zone, we still have to take that first step. You see, a comfort zone often is self-imposed. We have decided to stay there. And we actually restrict all the things that could happen in life because sometimes we're afraid of what is outside our comfort zone, so we remain in what is familiar. I had a friend who lived for years within 10 miles of her home. She just never went any further. I asked her why. She said, I don't know. God calls us to move. You see, the goal of life is not to be comfortable. Noah understood that. And God pushed him. God challenged him. And God challenges you and me. And basically he says, I don't want you to live stale and stagnant lives. There was a song from years ago, and I forget who wrote it or sang it. It's maybe a Stephen Curtis Chapman. Living the great adventure. That's what God calls us to. Is a great adventure. And if you want to have a life that is anything but boring, and one of the things that I run into all the time as a pastor is people who are just bored with their lives. You want to move away from that. Allow God to move you out of your comfort zone. God often pushes and we say, it's okay, God, I got it. God says, I want you to try. No, I'm good. I'm good. Or somebody else comes up and asks us to be part of a small group or asks us to serve. We say, no, I'm fine. I got it. Because we're afraid to take that next step. And all the while, we're just drowning in apathy and boredom. God is asking. The first step, though, is up to you. It's up to me. Move beyond. Break out. The first step's up to us. Second step is established by God. For us to move out of our comfort zone, the first step is us. We have to be willing. And then God shows us that next step. And once you and I make that decision to get in a step with God, once we are said, yeah, I'll move out of our comfort zone, then God does God's thing and God will accomplish what he wants to accomplish. You see, the reality is you and I can get on board or miss the train. God is going to do it with or without us. You hear me? And so the choice is us. Are we going to get with God's plan for us? He wants us to be part of the incredible joy. I love the Joy Story 3. Remember seeing that? You know, that's what comes when we step out of our comfort zone. It's a step of trust. It's a step of obedience. It's a step of faith. Now let me explain kind of how this happens. You see, when you're looking for the next step that God has for you, sometimes you and I want to see the next 40 steps. Right? We say, okay, God, I'll take this step if you'll just show me where it's leading in so many weeks, months, or years. God doesn't work that way always. You know, sometimes he might, but he doesn't always work that way. You and I need to just look for the next step. Don't get bogged down in what's going on in 20 years. Okay, God, what's the next step for me? Where do you want me to go in this next place in my life? You see, God doesn't always show us where he wants to take us because it'll just freak us out. You know, sometimes he shows us the whole picture. We'll just be completely afraid and we'll totally withdraw. Instead, he just wants us to take that next right step for us. Oftentimes, I want to use a picture that some of us in this room will understand. Apologies to those of you who don't, okay? How many of you remember Polaroid pictures? Okay, most of us here, we love the digital pictures, you know. You know the wonderful part about digital pictures on your iPhone or your phone? You can take all kinds of pictures. You know the bad part of the digital pictures on your iPhone? You can take all kinds of pictures, you know. There's just too much. But you take the picture and there it is. It's all there instantly. God's will, though, is more like a Polaroid picture. Do you remember that? You'd push the button on that big old clunker of a camera, you remember? And it'd go, you know, and it'd shoot that picture out. And you'd hold it, and it would just look, was it like a grayish, remember? And then what? It would gradually come into view. Sometimes God's will is that way. He doesn't show us the whole picture right at the beginning. It doesn't develop all instantly before our eyes. As we take a step, God reveals more and more of his will, and it becomes clearer and clearer for us. Genesis 8, God said to Noah, leave the boat, all of you, you and your wives, your sons and their wives, release all the animals, the birds, the livestock, the small animals that scurry along the ground so they can be fruitful and multiply throughout the earth. This is the tipping point. This is the next step for Noah, and it's one that will make or break the rest of his life and will change the course of history, his story, history. You see, the boat had not only been his home for the previous time, it was his sanctuary. It was his safe place that had delivered him from being killed in the flood. You see, leaving our comfort zones is tough. But you're not foreign to that. Every one of us in coming to this campus perhaps left a comfort zone. You know, for some of us who came from other campuses, everything was all established and kind of neat and tidy, and you come to this place where it's kind of like we're building the plane in the air. You know, we're figuring it out as we go. For some of you, you have come from other congregations and left that comfort zone because you felt God called you here. For some of you, you've watched as your beloved church has been changed so that other people will be able to know Jesus Christ. We have all left our comfort zones. And those who have begun to come, those from our community that God has been drawing back to himself, have had to leave some of those comfort zones in order to take the next step, getting back to God. Imagine Noah going down that gangplank. What's going on? What is out here? What if it doesn't work? What if it starts raining again? You know, what if the flood comes? Noah is just all concerned with this. Now, sometimes as you and I take our next step, we need to burn the bridges behind us. Some of you are history buffs. You'll remember in the early 16th century, there was a Spanish conquistador. Say that, conquistador. Can you say that with me? I can't. Yeah. His name's Hernando Cortez, and he led an expedition that caused the fall of the Aztec Empire and brought large portions of the mainland Mexico under the king's control. He was part of those that began the Spanish colonization of the Americas. I'm not saying it was right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm just telling you what happened. Okay? When he came to that point, he traveled by sea in the spring of 1519, and he had an expedition consisting of 600 Spaniards, 16 or so horses, and 11 boats. They landed in Mexico, and you know what one of the first things he did was? He burned the boats. He burned the boats. So all the people that went there with him, they knew that there was no way out. They either had to win or they would die. They had to win or perish. There was no exit strategy. And you'd think that would cause them to be maybe discouraged, but instead they rallied behind their leader as never before, and within 2 years he succeeded in his conquest of the Aztec Empire. They left their comfort zones and they said, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. In Genesis 8, verse 18, so Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives left the boat. They passed their test. And all the large and small animals and birds came out of the boat pair by pair. Now remember, there are all kinds of good reasons to leave, but there's always something in the familiar that could have called Noah to stay. But he left his comfort zone. It took as much faith for Noah to get out of the boat as it took for him to build the boat. Proverbs 16 says, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. See, the first step you and I have to be willing to go. The second step is established by God. And the third step, and every step, is an exercise in trust. Every step in our journey of following God requires us to trust him more than we trust ourselves. It's a matter of taking the step even though you can't see what's in your path. Some of you took a step last week, and several of you talked to me after the service or called me during the week and said, you know, you moved from compliance to obedience. In other words, you took that step from being a religion-oriented person to being a relationship-oriented person, and that required you to move from your comfort zone. You see, God shows us the next step. He doesn't always show us the next 20 steps. When we're willing to take it, oftentimes the first step is the hardest. And it's not necessarily a trust in something, it's a trust in somebody. And that is in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we can do that because of everything that he has done and how he's been faithful in the past. It's not a leap of faith, it's a step based on the reality of who Jesus is and what he has done all throughout history. So here's the question as we close these minutes we have together. What is God asking you to do? It may be very different from anybody sitting around you. It may be very different from what your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whoever may be asked to do. What is God calling you to do? What is your next step? What is it that God has placed on your heart, but because of fear, perhaps you've never attempted it? You may have known this is something that God's wanted you to do all of your life, but you've never taken that step. in stepping towards what God wants you to be. Maybe you are burned in a relationship, and maybe for you, God's calling you to open your heart to love again. Maybe it's time to get some counseling to deal with something that you know has been a problem for decades. But you're so comfortable with that, and you're afraid of the steps that you may have to take if you go down that road. If God's calling you to do it, take that step. Maybe God's asking you to leave the job you're in. It's comfortable and it pays the bills, but you know it's not where you're supposed to be. Maybe God is calling you to something greater. Maybe it's joining the church. Maybe it's getting baptized. I had somebody else come up to me this morning and said, "Hey, I want to remember my baptism." So now we're up to 4. You better come early on the 22nd or you won't get a seat. I don't know what God's calling you to. You know. You know, in the quietness of your heart, those times when you shut off the radio and the TV, when the clutter is gone and you put down your phone, it just kind of taps on your heart and your mind. Will you say yes? Genesis 8, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and he sacrificed as burnt offerings the animals and birds that had been approved for that purpose. And the Lord was pleased with the aroma and said to himself, "I'll never again curse the ground." You see, the very first thing that Noah did when he left the ark was he worshiped. And so this day, as we sing this next song, the very first thing you can decide right now in the deepest part of who you are to take that next step. You may not be able to do it exactly at this point in this service, but you can decide to do it. You can decide to take that next step of whatever God has called you to do. To leave the comfort, to leave the familiar, to step into all that God has for you. There's one more verse I want to share and then we're done. It's in Proverbs 3. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." See, you're never too old, you're never too gone, you're never too sinful to step out of your comfort zone and get back on the road that God has for you. That's where real life begins.
Thank you for spending this time in worship with all of us here at Charter Oak Church in Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania. We've wrapped up the newest series, and next week we'll kick off a new one, so we hope you'll join us then. In the meantime, if you'd like to learn more about the church or any of its 3 campuses, please check out our website at www.charteroak.church. God bless and hope to see you next week.